steps down from the ministry. I've pastored and been a missionary pastor for over 55 years. And then you step down, and the hardest thing for me is to sit in that chair during a preaching service. I just want to get up, because all that time I've been standing during church services instead of sitting down. And I find that so hard to do, even after the length of time that we have already stepped down. But it is good to be here tonight, and certainly glad to see a nice little rain coming and some more coming in tomorrow. That'll be good. I've got a feeling that this spring the Blue Bonnets are going to be at one of their best. I think this is going to be a great, great year for Blue Bonnets in the state of Texas. When we get a good rain in the wintertime, then it makes a great spring. So let's pray that that'll be the case. I love Blue Bonnets. I really do. I'm glad to see Brother Kevin and Charmaine back in the service and their daughters and one of their girls' children. It's good to have them here. And it's good to have you here tonight. I told Peggy on the way up to church, I said, you know, with all this rain and it being cold, I may just preach to you tonight. And in fact, I asked her earlier, I said, you sure you want to go to church tonight? It's going to be raining, it'll be cold. She said, I have to go. And I said, why do you have to go to church tonight? She said, my favorite preacher is preaching tonight. So she is here right over there if you want to see her after the service. And I tell you what, I appreciate all the years that God gave me with that woman. I appreciate every one of them. They've been great. And her children think she's the greatest. And I think she's the greatest. And God has been good to us. Now, I want you to stand with me, if you will, for a word of prayer. Again, thank you for being here tonight. Appreciate it so much. Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence this evening, we thank you, first of all, for your love for us. God, it's good tonight to know that we have someone that loves us with an everlasting love. Father, we give you praise tonight for all that you've done in our life, the way you have watched over us, the way you have blessed us. And Father, we just want to say thank you. And I believe I can speak for this congregation. God, you've been good to us, and we thank you so much. Father, tonight, bless your word. May it be a blessing to the people. May each of us be encouraged and strengthened by the word of God, that we can go out of this building and continue to walk the walk and live our faith out before others. Bless us now. Strengthen us now, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen, amen. You can be seated. I was thinking some time ago, before I knew I was going to get to preach. In fact, I've got about 15 sermon outlines, and now it's hard to decide which one I need to preach when I get an opportunity. But I was thinking about how in this year, 2015, and this is the first month that we're in right now, I was thinking how I, and probably you, need a special touch from God. I think that would be a great way to start off the new year, to just let God touch us in a very special way. And that would not only be true with you and I as individuals, but we could say every Bible preaching church needs a special touch from God, and where they can carry out the Great Commission and certainly do the job that the church is supposed to do in feeding and building up the saints of God. So I just believe a touch from the Heavenly Father would be something that we all could use. Now, if you can agree with that, say amen. Now, some people have an artistic touch. They can draw lines on paper, and people can tell what it is. A cook can take a touch of this and a touch of that, and sometimes cause a touch of indigestion. A blind person can read by touch. I've often told you about the young black, blind preacher, not black preacher, but young blind preacher that I went to school with. And he was so good at reading his Bible with his hands that Professor Kemp, who was the teacher, he was the only student that he would allow to read the Bible in his class. He would have him read the scriptures for him. So this young blind man was certainly one that had great talent. And boy, he could just read that scripture. And he had a great, great preacher's voice. I mean, it was strong and it was healthy. And he could just make the word come alive when he would read that way. Now, teachers have a touch of communication, so our children can read the TV guide. Nurses and doctors have a touch of compassion and healing, which we all are very thankful for. And some even have the touch of music. A man got up and played a violin. He played the song, "Take Me Back to Old Virginia." A man got up and wrapped the violin around his neck. They asked him why he did that, and the man said, "I am a music lover." He was saying he did not have the touch. That's what he was saying. Now, that will lead us up to our text tonight. So take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, if you don't mind. And I want to read a few verses here, and this is one of those little stories in the Scripture about the Lord Jesus Christ that sometimes we get sort of confused about. But if we knew a little bit about it and a little bit of background, it would not be quite as confusion. Now, notice if you will in Mark chapter 10, come down to verse 13. "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and bless them." My, what a story. That is something I imagine Sunday school teachers use when they're talking with children and so on. But I want to use it tonight in talking to you about the touch of God. The touch of God. Now, unless you know this, you might misunderstand what this is all about. In that time, now, you know we had Brother Knight here recently tell us about, always go back and look at the time situation, look at the people, and so on. And then you can get a pretty good ideal about what is being said on that occasion. In that time when Jesus did this, rich and important people were not touched. They did not allow the common man to touch them. They stayed a distance from them. And that's what was so strange now when we find that Jesus not only let people touch him, he touched them. So we can thank God tonight that you and I, we have a God that can touch us. He can minister to us. He can bless us and so on. Now, Jesus was touched by people, and was also, he touched people himself. Now, I want to show you how we do this now, because we know Jesus is not here tonight. First of all, Jesus shows us in the Scriptures here how God can and how he will touch us. Now, let me say this first, a little illustration here. And this is awful close to our home right here in Copper's Cove. There was a politician who people could touch in his early days in Washington, D.C. until he became the president of the United States, and then no one was allowed to get close enough to touch him. You know who that president was? LBJ, Lyndon Vane Johnson. His ranch is right down here at close to Johnson City. You can go down there. It's a big national park now. But Lyndon Vane Johnson, after the assassination of Kennedy, after he was sworn in, they said you could not get close enough to touch him. But before that, you could walk up, pat him on the back, shake his hand, and everything was all right. But not after that. Now, take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Luke. And I want to go to chapter 5. I want to read a few illustrations here about touching the Lord and Him touching us. Look in chapter 5 at verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. And he, that's speaking of Jesus, put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Now you have to know you couldn't touch a leper back in that day. But you see, Jesus did not let that hinder him because he was going to heal that man in just a few seconds. Now, I want you to go over with me to chapter 8. Chapter 8 of the Gospel of Luke. And I want you to come down to verse 45. And Jesus said, Who toucheth me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him saith, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and saith thou, Who toucheth me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Now, you know the story. That's the little woman that came up behind and touched the hem of his garment. Now, I want you to come down in that same chapter. Come down, if you will, to verse 53. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. This is the young lady now. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maiden, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose, and straightway he commanded to give her meat. My. Isn't that strange? Jesus had such a powerful touch. He could communicate to people and he could bless them. Now, here's what we're talking about. My God can touch me. And the question would be, how can he touch me? He's not here today. He's back at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So how can God touch me? I want to tell you tonight, God can touch you by His Word, and God can touch you by His Spirit. So all of us in this building, at some time or another, if we're saved tonight, we have been touched by the Word, we have been touched by the Spirit, and so we know the touch of God. Now, let's talk about you and I. How can we touch God? I certainly can't reach into heaven. How can I touch God? We touch Him by faith. You touch God by faith. You read your Bible and you'll find case after case where people reached out and touched God by faith and victory came into their life. My, I like that. So first of all, let me just say tonight, the dead in sin need a touch. The dead in sin. I know this is Wednesday night and I'll quickly get through this, but everybody needs to hear consistently that if you're not saved, you're not going to get to go to heaven. Now, we know we don't like to hear about this, but if you die in your sins without the forgiveness of God, you are going to hell, as the missionary told you Sunday night. You don't hear many men say what that young man said. Because we don't like to hear about hell today. It's not even pleasant in an independent Baptist church. And yet the Bible says if you don't have the touch of God on your life and have forgiveness of your sins, then you are going to that place called hell. But you say, well, preacher, I just don't believe in hell. That's just too bad, buddy. Too bad. I do, and the Word of God says there's a hell. And so we're not concerned about what you believe, because Luke chapter 16 says this about the rich man. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Now, as a young man, when I heard about hell, I knew right away I did not want to go there. I mean, it didn't take me long to decide I don't want to go to hell. You see, I'm not very smart, but I'm not stupid. And I'll tell you one thing, I'd rather choose heaven over hell. I'd rather choose the grace and power and victory in Jesus over what the devil and he's going to experience in the hereafter. So I'm telling you tonight, there is a hell, and everybody needs a touch of salvation upon their life. True, there are many things that I personally don't know. I'm not going to try to stand up here and tell you I'm so brilliant and so smart, but I'm going to tell you something I do know tonight. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm glad I know that. I'm glad I know that. If you know you're saved tonight, let God know it by saying amen. Yes. Now, church, let me say, I've been to that fountain. We sang about it. That fountain that's filled with blood. I called out one day to the one who came out of the grave after he'd been crucified on an old rugged cross. And as Romans chapter 5 and verse 2 says, I am rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. I'm happy tonight. I know this world is in a mess. I heard the president speak last night. It's in a mess. But I'm telling you, I'm glad tonight that I know when this life is over and when this thing comes down to the end, I'm glad to say I've got a hope that's based on Jesus Christ. Amen. I pray that you know what I'm talking about here tonight. Not only does he need to touch those that are in sin, but I thank God tonight that He often touches the sick. Now, if you've got your Bible there, turn with me to the book of James. I'm sure you know these verses, but let me read them anyhow. I think it's just good to hear them. In James chapter 5 and verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Look at verse 15. And the prayer of faith, not the prayer of doubt, but the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, there's a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in healing. Because, you know, everybody seems to die sooner or later. So there's some people that says, I just don't believe in healing. But you let some doctor look you eyeball to eyeball and say to you, you must die, you cannot live, then I'll guarantee you, you'll get a new perspective of healing and you'll believe in it and you'll be asking everybody you know to pray for you and ask God to bless you. But let's be honest tonight. I know that may be hard for some Baptists, but let's just be honest tonight. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, as it is appointed unto death once to die, but after this the judgment. Have you noticed most people do not die in the best of health. I mean, you know, they just don't die when they're in the best of health. Now, true, there is one man in the Bible that died that was in great health. That was Moses. You remember Moses? Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural forces abated. Now, that's Moses at 120 years. Now, I want you to look at this verse because this is one of those verses these liberals and these Bible deniers, they could pick this verse apart. Notice it says there that his eye was not dim. Was Moses like a pirate that had a patch over one eye and just had one good eye? No, no. What this verse is saying is that his eyesight was not weakened. In other words, I was in my late 40s when I had to get glasses. Moses is 120 years old, and his eyes have not weakened. Something else it says about him there in that verse, notice, nor his natural force abated. Now, the word abated simply means to be less. Have you noticed that as you get older, you get littler? I went to the doctor the other day, and Peggy was with me, and Peggy was wondering how tall she is. And so I asked the lady, would you check her height? And sure enough, Peggy had been telling everybody she was a certain height, and she was about almost 2 inches down below that. So the next time I had to go personally, I asked her to give me my height. And I used to be, 5'9", maybe a fraction over that. But now I'm 5'8". I'm getting less. I'm smaller. And my friends, the Bible says that Moses, though he was 120 years old, he was still a strong, vibrant man. He was not less of a man. He was still strong. And I thought that was so good. Now, we don't want to think about it, but did you know when you came into this world, that very moment that your mother gave birth to you, something began to happen with you as an individual. You began to die. You began to die after your birth. We're going downhill. We're not getting stronger and more powerful as we get older. We're going downhill. We're abating, as the Bible would say. And healing is God's way of giving mercy to you and I as we travel along this life way that He has planned for you and I. Everybody in this building would probably raise their hand if I said, do you believe that God has ever touched you and healed you? I've done that before, and I've seen hands go up by the scores because we've all had a headache, or we've all had some kind of sickness, maybe a cold or something, and we would say, God, would you please heal me? And God did. God does heal. But we also are going to get older. And one of these days, death is going to come to every person in this building. It's going to come. It's going to come. Now, also, along with healing, there's another need that we don't give much attention to, and that is the supply of the needs that we have as we travel this life for the Lord. You know, in Psalm chapter 33 and verse 20, it says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. And listen to these next words. He is our help and our shield. Our help and our shield. Have you ever been at the place where if God did not do something, no way would you make it? I want to confess tonight, I have been at that place a number of times in my life. I mean, I've been down so far that I would look at myself and say, Mickey, what's wrong with you? How could you get in this kind of a mess? How could you let things go so long and so bad that you can't get out of it? Well, let me tell you, God's put me in some of those situations Himself because He knew I needed to come to the place where I could see His power and His provision in my life. I could tell you story after story tonight how God has come down, and as Psalm chapter 23, I believe, tells us, He's prepared a table in the presence of my enemy. Amen. I'm here tonight to say we serve a good God. We serve a God tonight that can put food on the table. We serve a God tonight that can put clothes on your back. You've heard me tell about one time in Oregon. We was pastoring a little church up there. And our daughter, Glenda, most of you know her. And Glenda was in grade school. And we were so bad off, we couldn't even buy her a pair of shoes. And if you know anything about Oregon, it's a wet, damp place up there. And so we prayed. And next morning, somebody walked out on the porch, and there sat a pair of shoes. Right on the porch. The same size that Glenda wore. I'm telling you tonight, you can get aggravated if you want to, but I found that if you'll put your trust in God and believe what He says in His Word, He will come through for you. He will come through for you. Praise God. God is my help. And when God is your help, you don't need nobody else's help. Because God is more than what you need. Now, I'm going to come to my last point tonight. I'm going to try to keep this short tonight. I got a little long the last time I preached, and I was beginning to think I was never going to get to preach again. So I'm going to keep it short tonight. But listen now. Last tonight, there's coming a day. There's coming an hour. There's coming a minute. There's coming a second. When all the saved will be touched by His Word. Now you let that sink in for a second. All the saved will be touched by His Word. And I want to say, my God, what a touch this is going to be. I mean, this is something you can shout about. This is something you can be glad about. It is a touch like no other touch that you've ever experienced in your life. No, sir. Now, don't turn there, but let me read Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 to you. It says, "After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Now, for you Bible students, you know that we believe that when you come to the end of chapter 3 of Revelation, we don't see the church after that until we get down close to the end of the book. In other words, God is going to use His illustration of John being called up into the third heaven. He's going to use that as an example of the rapture that's going to take place one of these days. And so He says here in the Scripture, He says, "Come up hither." Now, I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. I love 1 Thessalonians. I love chapter 4. Chapter 4. Look at verse 15. When you get to verse 15, would you say amen? Here's what it says. "For this we say unto you, by the word of God," or the word of the Lord, "that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." That word "prevent" there, as you know, simply means we won't precede them. In other words, the ones that die in faith, The ones that pass on, they're not going to be left behind, because He said, we'll not precede them or we'll not go ahead of them. Now notice what He says. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17. Then we, Paul thought he was going to be alive, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I like the next verse. I think this is a great verse. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen and amen. Now, do you remember these words right here? I know you do when I read them to you. You're going to know them. It says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Get that down in your spirit. So here's the setting. At the end of chapter 3 of Revelation, we believe we have a picture of the church being called out. This is pictured by John. John being called up to see and write and give us some history of what is to be. Now, church, you see no more until you come up to the last little bit of Revelation. Now, here's what I want you to see tonight. I want you to get this. Church, when the dead in Christ and the living who have been washed in the blood hear these words, come up here. Put that in a little bit easier language there. Come up here. Now, Paul said something. Paul put it like this when this takes place. He said, corruptible will put on incorruption, and mortal shall put on immortality. Now, I'm talking change here. I'm talking about something happened that none of us have ever experienced before. I'm talking about something that will be so unique. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says this, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now, I could sit here tonight and I could expound on what heaven's going to be like, tell you all the wonderful things that we'll enjoy up there. But when I got through, I hadn't told you all of it. Because you see, the Bible says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard. All those things that God has prepared for you and I that have experienced salvation in our life. Now, I said when you got born into this world, you started getting older. We all did that. But I want to say when you got born again, when you got saved, I don't care if it was at 12 years old or 22 years old or 52 years old. When you got saved, a work began. A process began. And that process is talked about by the Apostle Paul often in the Scripture, that you and I, through the Word of God, and through the preaching of this Word, and through the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God and the Word are preparing us and bringing us to a place where we will be more like Jesus. But yet, if we sought out tonight somebody that we looked at their life and we said, my, they look like Jesus. I believe they're like the Lord. Do you know if we examine them close enough, we will find flaws in their character. We'll find flaws in their life. Because there's no way that I can or you can, just through the preaching and the Spirit of God, come to a place where we are like Jesus. No way. No way. Won't happen. It can happen, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You see, the Bible says, when my ears and when your ears are touched by these words, come up hither. I don't even know if I dare to say it. I don't know if we can even believe it. It's so unbelievable in a way. But the answer is the Word of God is true. And you can believe it. Let me close tonight with a verse that I believe puts it all in perspective. Listen very carefully. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You see, right now, if you're a believer, you're a son of God. You're not perfect. You don't do everything right. You don't ever say everything right. You don't think everything right. You don't look at everything right. There's flaws in all of us. But right now, if you are saved by the grace of God, if you've been washed in that blood, if your name has been put in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'm here to tell you, you are going to be changed and be like Him. Listen now. Listen. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. There's more. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You are to mark that verse in your Bible, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Because when you hear those words, and if you're saved, you're going to hear them one day. You're going to hear those words, come up here, and church, we shall be like Him. We won't have this old sinful flesh to carry around anymore. You see, when you got saved, you got forgiven for your sins. You got forgiven. You got forgiven. You don't have to worry about going to hell. But there's one thing that you did not get when you got saved. You did not get removed from the face of sin. But there comes this day when you hear those words, come up hither! And the church, the dead in Christ, those which are alive shall be caught up! And you're going to see Him. And you're going to be just like Him. Just like Him. Glory to God. Just like Him. Isn't that what you've always wanted? Don't we talk about it? Oh, to be like Jesus. That's our desire. That's our dream. To be like Jesus Christ. Glory to God. If I could sing tonight, I'd sing that song, oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. When you and I are changed, when the Word touches our ears, come up hither. When that happens, my friends, the change is going to take place and we are going to be just like our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to say, that's as good as it'll ever get. That's as good as it'll ever get. That's all I dream about. That's all I want. I want to be like Him. Aren't you ashamed when you fall short? Don't you cry and you say, God, please forgive me. I didn't mean to think that. I didn't mean to see that. But just think, there is a change coming. And it'll happen when you are touched by the Word. Can you imagine what a touch this is? That touch goes 6 feet down in the ground and touches those in the grave. And the Bible says they come out of the grave. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up. And when you see Him, you'll see yourself. Would you stand with me? Would you stand with me? You've been a good audience tonight, and I thank you for that. I know it's a wet night, and so what I'd like to do, they're going to give you the prayer sheets when you go out of the door.